Would you go ahead and be seated and open your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. I am continuing on my series on divine healing. This is a series that I started a couple months back, and I'm talking to, we are in part 9 today, and what's happened thus far, what we've done so far in this series. The first week we talked was prepare for battle. The next lesson was when you pray. The next lesson was the law of faith. Then are you stopping God from working? The word, the blood, and the name, the sovereignty of God, angels and demons, part one and part two. And then today we're going to talk about the voice of the world versus the voice of God. Next week we'll close this series, and I'm going to talk to you about how to appropriate healing. How to get healed, how God would like to touch your body and make you well and make you whole. So today we're going to talk to you today about the voice of the world and the voice of God. There are two voices. There are two voices in the world, God's voice and the voice of the Antichrist. That's what it is. Anything that disagrees with the word of God is or the voice of God, which is the word of God. The word of God and the voice of God are the same. The voice is the voice of the Antichrist. If it does not agree with God, it originated with the Antichrist. The Antichrist started in the Garden of Eden in the person of a serpent. He came out and started to say something about God. Most people look at the temptation of the serpent and Eve as that they were going to be like God. And if you read it from the Hebrew viewpoint and a Hebrew mindset, the serpent wasn't asking Eve to be like God. She was saying to become God. The serpent was telling Eve that you can make your own rules. And if you make your own rules, you can define what is good and evil, that you would know the difference between good and evil. It actually says that you would be able to define them. Whatever you say is good will be good. Whatever you say is evil will be evil. And in today's society in America, we are getting more and more and more and more away from God and declaring that it's good. We say things that are just totally anti-God, totally anti-scripture, totally anti-word, and we declare it as good. And you are now trying to be God. You are trying to do what the Antichrist wants you to do. So today I want to talk to you about the difference between the voice of God and the Antichrist. And the voice of the world wants you to stay sick. It wants you to be hurt. It wants you to be sick. It wants to beat you up. The voice of this world wants to make sure you feel horrible about yourself. So let's look at it. Starting in 2 John verse 7, it says this, "For many deceivers have gone into the world and who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is a deceiver and the Antichrist. I want you to focus on this word confess, which means to say the same thing. It is not just declaring that Jesus is God or Jesus is the Son of God or Jesus was a man. It is declaring Jesus is who he said he was and who he says he is. It is agreeing, "For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus for what he said he is." There's a whole bunch of people who declare to be believers, but yet they don't confess what Jesus says. They confess what they want the Bible to say. They confess what they want to do, how they want to live. And there's a huge difference in it. There are two sources of information, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, or line of thoughts or thinking. Here's what I want to say. Two sources of where information comes from. Two sources of knowledge. Two sources of understanding or a way of thinking or a way of thought. There are two of them. One is God and one is the Antichrist. That's it. That's all there is. There is no third choice. The thoughts that are not from God or of God or agree with God are from, ultimately, if you do a deep dive, come from the voice of the serpent, come from the Antichrist, come from the devil himself, comes from demonic influence onto this world. Both voices are after your heart. If the voice can control your heart, it can control your behavior. It can control your life. It can control your destiny. Your life comes from your heart. What you believe in your heart, your mind, your body will do all it can. Your mind and your body will do all it can to make it happen. And there's a whole lot of Christians who are not living the victorious Christian life that Jesus Christ died on the cross for because they believe in their heart they are not worthy of it. That they believe in their heart that it doesn't belong to them. They believe there's a lot of Christians who are sick because they don't believe God wants them well. Their heart controls their life, controls their body, controls your future. Whatever you believe in your heart, faith comes from the heart. Your belief system is inside your heart. It is not inside your brain. You can understand something, but if you don't believe what you understand, you'll never have the results from it. You'll never have the end results. You'll never get what the promise is. You can believe in the promises of God, but if you can understand them, you can know them, but if you don't believe in your heart that they are for you personally, you will never exercise the benefit of those promises. The Bible says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that if anyone will turn to Jesus Christ, they will not be going, their destiny will not be hell, but will be heaven. They'll be in the family of God. But if you don't believe it and exercise it and actually do it from your heart, then you're not going to get born again. You're not going to go to heaven. The way you go to heaven is believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he's died for you and that he's raised from the dead and you accept him as your Lord and Savior from your heart. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, it says, for this wisdom, the wisdom of this world, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God looks at the wisdom of man and man, first of all, God is the creator of science. And you do a deep enough dive in science, it will always take you to God. Unless you purposely withhold information or become blind to truth, then you will make something up. And there are scientists who can actually believe, they actually believe that science proves God exists, and there are other scientists who believe science proves that God doesn't exist. Why? Because it comes from their whole motivation and the thought process they have in their head and their heart and what voice they're listening to. The voice of the world wants to move you away from God. It wants you to stop believing that God cares about you. It wants you to stop believing that God will actually answer your prayers. It wants you to think, oh, that religion, what's that good for? But the wisdom of this world and what it considers to be super wise, God goes, it's nothing compared to how wise God is. The greatest minds on earth were still created by God, which means he had to have a greater mind to even create that mind. White handkerchief time. Okay. What the world says and what God says. Okay, right? I'm going to give you bullet point shots. What the world says. Here's what the world says. This is what God says. The world says you're sick. God says you're healed. The world says you can't have enough money. God says he will provide. The world says, the world calls you names. God has a new name for you. The world calls you worthless. God says you're the apple of his eye. The world looks at your skin color. God looks at the color of your heart. The world says you are old and worthless. God says he makes you a new creation. The world says sin is okay. God delivers you from the power of sin. The world says you cannot live long enough without medication. It wants you on medicine. It wants you to be on some kind of medication the rest of your life. God says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus. The world says, hate your enemy. God says, pray for and love your enemy. The world says, hold all your money for yourself. God says, give and it shall be given to you. The world says, don't tithe. God says, if you do, well, he'll open the windows of heaven for you. The world says, take care of number one. God says, lay down your life for others. The world says, Jesus was just a man. The Bible says that he's the Son of God who gave his life for you. The world says, God is mad at you. The Bible says, God loves you. The world. And I could go on and on and on and on the list of comparison, what the world says. The world says, doubt who you are, doubt your gender, doubt your importance. God says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose us, just as he chose us, this is going to blow your mind, just as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This scripture says God knew you before your grandparents were born. God knew you before Adam was created. God knew you were coming, and he planned a life for you. And he planned a place for you. And he planned you to be something. He's got a plan for your life, and he wants to use you in that plan. God has a purpose for you, and he says that you stand before him holy and without blame. There are spiritual truths and there are natural truths, and both truths can exist at the same time. Are you aware that you can have two truths, something that's very true, and they're contradicting each other, but they're true at the exact same time? Happens all the time. Ephesians chapter 2 says in verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together, sit, current, present tense, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According to this scripture, you sit in this room, but you also sit in heaven at the exact same time. Two truths. One truth is your natural body's right here. The other truth is you are spiritually connected to God, and you sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God sees your future as it's now. God calls your now your future. God says what he sees, and he says it about you. You can be sick and healed at the same time. How is that possible? According to Romans 4:17, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. When God calls it, it is. Did you know, let me phrase it. Do you know how God made the world? Do you know how God made the solar systems? Do you know how God made every single angel? According to scripture, we find out that God calls it, which means he names it, and then it exists. God did not say, let there be 10,000 angels. He actually named every single one of them, and when he called their name, they existed. He called each planet and each star by its name. He called everything by its name, and when he called it, it became. He said it, and it existed. He called you by your name. And he has a new name for you in heaven. He called you by your name. And when he called you by your name and before the foundation of the world, it was destined for you to exist. I don't care how you got here. I don't care if a man and a woman got married and you became a product of that marriage, or if you are from a rape, or if you are from some other situation. God knew you were coming and he had a plan for your life. What you need to realize is it doesn't matter who your earthly parents are, you have a heavenly parent, God the Father, who cares for you and has planned your future, and he wants you to hear his voice and not the voice of the world that tells you you're no good. The world wants to beat you up. The world wants to tell you you're not worth it. The world wants to say, who are you? The world wants to look at you and say, you don't measure up. The world wants to put you down because you don't have enough education, or because you have too much education, or because your skin isn't dark enough, or your skin isn't light enough. The world wants you to fight. It wants chaos. It's anti-Christ. And God wants peace. God wants his whole family to join together and to worship him. And what we have in common is him and the blood of Jesus Christ. There are two types of believers in the world today, the carnal believer and the spiritual believer. The carnal believer is one who believes that what he sees is greater than what God says. And here's where the divide comes. How do I hear the voice of God over the voice of the world? When you take the voice of the world and you declare it to be more true than the voice of God. You could have cancer in your body, and that is a truth. But at the same truth, we have God who has declared by his stripes we are healed. Now we take both truths and we live in that, and we have a journey to take us to the final destination. And God sees the final destination, he sees you completely healed. Guess what? When you get to heaven, you're not gonna have any mental issues, you're not gonna have any physical issues, you're not gonna be poor, you're gonna be blessed by the Lord, you're gonna be in the presence of God, you are gonna be having this fulfilled love with God himself. You will know as you are known, according to according to Paul in his writings. You need to realize that God sees the end results. And every single one of us in heaven is completely healed, completely whole, and mature and walking with God. He sees that and he calls it today. That is where he wants us to go. That is what he wants us to do. So, well, Pastor, what happens if a Christian dies of cancer? Well, a Christian dies of cancer, he's in heaven, no longer have cancer. The end result happened. One day we are going to win the battle. We could win the battle here on earth or win the battle in heaven, but we win. And we need to realize we're on the winning team. And we need to know that we, now, the carnal believer is the guy or the woman, the person who believes what they see. They believe that their lack of money is more true than God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They believe the pain that they are in. You know that flu that went around, it came around, it started in Thanksgiving and showed up in pretty much every family I met. I got the cough, and I had the cough for over 8 weeks. Every day I saw myself, the journey takes me to the end, and the end result is the cough is gone. Thank God it is gone. And it happened on planet Earth. I didn't have to go to heaven to get it gone. But what I want you to understand is the journey will now take you on a track, and following the Holy Spirit may take you to the doctors. It may take you to some kind of medication. It may take you to rest. It may take you to changing your diet. Whatever the journey is, that's going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and you yielding to the voice of the Holy Spirit and following the voice of God, not the voice of the world. The voice of the world says, oh man, you are going to die. The voice of the world wants to beat you up all the time. And, you know, the thing about demons is they're relentless. They do not stop. They don't care how much you cry at night. They don't care how hurting you are. They don't care how you feel lonely or anything. They're just going to pound it more. They're going to go after whatever thing that you think God left you behind with and just keep telling you God doesn't care. But God does. This is where we have to be gutsy enough to actually believe Scripture over our own experience. We have to quit using our life experiences to define Scripture and start using Scripture to make our life experiences. It's very different. In Romans chapter 8, it says this, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You have your Bible open to Romans 8. It says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity, enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So here's what I want you to understand in this, in Romans chapter 8, that if you are a carnal believer, if you have a carnal mind, this is where you believe that what you experience in life is more real than the promises of God. See, when you sit there and you have your own battles in life and you go, okay, God, why am I going through this? Why did you let me go through this? Why did you let this happen to me? That's usually a prayer of a very young Christian that hasn't studied Scripture very much, hasn't been in prayer, and they start thinking that God, everything good and bad comes from God. No, the bad comes from the evil that's in this world. You can beat up Adam and Eve for that. They let the serpent in and evil showed up. You can ask them when you get to heaven, why'd you do that? I bet there's a long line at their house. I think those two need to do conferences when you get to heaven, just so they could tell more people, you know, at one time kind of thing. But I have, like, why? Adam, why didn't you just kick out that serpent? Anyway, what I want you to understand is if you have a carnal mind, you are actually fighting against spiritual truths. Spiritual truths are more real than natural truth. All natural truth is subject to change. Spiritual truth doesn't change. All natural things are going to change. You're going to get through whatever it is you're going through, even if what you're going through takes your life. Now you've changed. If you are a believer, you go to heaven and everything changes. All natural truths are subject to change. All spiritual truths, not subject to change. They are eternal. The promises of God are eternal. The blessings of God are eternal. God says it stays. The world says, and it wants it to stay with you. It wants you to believe that you're not who you are. It wants you to believe that God isn't who he is. It wants you to believe that you're never going to make it in life. The carnal mind is going to fight against God. The carnal mind is going to be trying to get through all the different things in life and trying to get through battles. The big question is how do I follow the voice of God? Okay, so if I've got two voices that are coming into my life every day, all the time, every minute of the day, constantly, 24/7, they don't even take Christmas off. They still attack you. In fact, they seem to, the voice of the world seems to be louder on holidays. You know, holidays and Sundays. Okay, you're a family. You got little kids. There are special demons assigned to hide shoes. And they always hide one shoe. It's incredible. You know, every family goes through it. When your kids are like, you know, come on, I can't find my shoe. And you can't find it either. And you know, so it was so bad when our kids were little, we found the shoes on Saturday night and got them out. Because, anyway. Some husbands and wives should go to church in two separate cars. And you will stop some demons. It could be healthy. Anyway, here's what I want. Okay, the question be, how do I follow the voice of God? Before you follow the voice of God, you need to follow the way of God. The way of God has been given to us in Scripture. Am I doing what I know to do? Doesn't matter how much you know. Are you doing what you do know? If you're not doing what you do know, then you're not going to be able to hear the voice of God that well unless you're going to do the way of God. And the way of God is, what have you learned in your Christian life thus far? If the only thing you learned is you should read the Bible now and then are you doing it? Are you on your phone far more than you're in the Bible? Nothing wrong with being on your phone, but if you don't know very much of the Bible, you need to become a student of the Word of God. Our website has tons of videos that you can watch, and we'll teach you the Bible. We'll teach you. I'm older than a lot of you, and I came from in the olden days, we had these things called cassettes. I know that a lot of you have no clue what that is, but it was a little rectangle-shaped device that had tape inside it, and you can put it into this machine that would hold it, and you'd click the top, and it would be like this big, you know, like five times bigger than your phone, and you'd push play, and somebody would talk through this thing called a speaker. It was amazing, totally amazing, high-tech stuff. It was leading edge. And I would listen. I learned the Bible by just listening to people preach on cassettes. And I'd listen to the cassette again and again and again. And same cassette. And again and again. And some of you sit here and you hear a sermon and you said, well, that was a great sermon. And never hear it again. I'd listen to the same. There were certain sermons I probably heard 20 times. I could preach it as good as the guy who was talking on the tape. Probably better. But it just had to get in me. And I actually learned the Bible by hearing people speak truth. Really important that we become students of the Bible, that we learn things. Nowadays, you have an MP3, you can download a file, you can Bluetooth your phone to your car, you could be driving and you could hear Pastor Josh and me preaching to you. Could do you some good, could save your life. Let's go on. Okay, I'm going back to answer the question about the voice of God. How do I follow the voice of God? You need to know the way of God. So here's what not to do. I thought it'd be important. Here's things that you shouldn't do. And here's where it gets a little tough. What I'm about to say is going to offend a third of you. And the next thing I'm going to say is going to offend the other third. And the last thing I said will offend. So I'll get everybody. The goal is to offend everybody in the room and then tell Josh fix it. Okay, number one, you should not do. Your opinion does not change or overrule God's word. God never contradicts his word. When you are trying to follow the voice of God and you are telling people that you're following the voice of God and the way of God and your behavior is contradicting what God says in the Bible, you're not following God, you're following the Antichrist. One third offended right there. Let's get the second third. Okay, here's the issue. If you know what you are doing is not from God, then it is from the other community called the Antichrist. And you will not clearly hear the voice of God in your life if you clog up your spiritual ears with voices from other things that want to teach you not God. You can go on YouTube. Don't do it right now. But you could go on YouTube and you can find preachers. And 100% of them will not be a pastor. And you'll find preachers on YouTube telling you you don't need to tithe. And none of them will be a pastor. And they will tell you, usually at the end, you could send the money to them. Or you'll find people who will prophesy to you, your tickling ears, and prophesy blessing to you, but now you're so blessed you need to give me money. This is not God. When your doctrine is trying to override God's word, then you are following the voice of the Antichrist. You need to change. You need to be humble enough that if you know you're doing wrong, you'd submit to God, bow your knee to him, and say, forgive me. Help me now change. Don't use your opinion. Now, the other one, okay? Another opinion? I love to talk about tithing because I'm going to celebrate my 50th year next month. Is when you say, I'm going to tithe only on my take-home pay. Not my gross, my net. And in my take-home pay is some holiday vacation pay, medical, and blah, blah. You got all kinds of things. You know, state taxes, federal taxes. And nowhere in the Bible does it say you don't tithe on your taxes. That's the second third. Isaiah 55 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is telling you in a very nice way, I'm smarter than you. So believe me if I tell you this is the right way to do it, and don't argue. How many times, if you were a parent, or you are right now, and you've got kids living at home, and you said, go clean your room. Why? And you don't have time to tell them why. You just want them to go clean the room. Or go brush your teeth. Why? Because if you don't, 5 years from now, all your teeth will fall out. And you'll try to smile, and there'll be nothing there, and you'll be embarrassed and not want to go to school. But yet, we as adults, God will tell us something. He'll tell us to pray. He will ask us to raise our hands during worship. He will ask us to go to our neighbors and be nice. And we will say, why? And he just wants to say, because I told you so. Because I'm smarter than you. And this is Christianity 101, listen to God, not you. That's where it all begins. Phase one, let's do what God says. Psalms 40, verse 5. Ooh, this is, I'm going to tell you, very few people look at this verse. Very few people have this on their refrigerator. This is amazing. This is an amazing verse. It begins in verse 5 with the word many. Now, what's amazing about the Hebrew word many, it means many. which is more than a few. Many. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done. Okay, so it starts off right here, and it declares, you have done a whole bunch of wonderful things. You've created the planets, you've created the rivers, you've created the water, you created the animals, many things that are wonderful. And your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. This second half says, no matter how wonderful are the works of God, your thoughts towards me outdoes all of that. The thoughts that God has about you in his mind, in his person, are far more than the thoughts it took him to create the universes. This is what Scripture is declaring, that God is thinking about you all the time. And then in Jeremiah 29, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So now we know by putting these two verses together that the thoughts that God has about you is something about hope. Where can I give you hope? How can I give you more hope? How can I help you? How can I bless you? How can I get... God is thinking and planning constantly of your future. I don't know. It kind of blows me away. Second thing that you don't do is don't make up the voice of God. What I mean by this is a lot of people, they make up what God tells them. They want something so bad that they just declare, "God told me." And he didn't tell you at all. And we can judge it by what you say he told you doesn't agree with Scripture. And if it doesn't agree with Scripture, I'm sorry, he didn't tell you. He did not inform you. Number three, well, what you don't do is peace is not the indicator. How many times have you heard someone say this? "I have peace about it." Peace is a feeling. Peace can be deceiving. Now, let me share this. Let me help you with this one, because this is used all the time by Christians. "I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, came to a decision, and I know it's the right decision because I feel peace." The Bible doesn't say that peace produces, is the way to please God. It says faith is. Did you know the very fact that you wrestle over a decision, one or two or three choices, let's say you have two or three choices of something in your life and you've been praying about it, praying about it, praying about it, the very fact that you finally made a choice brings peace, rest. Oh, whew, that's done. I feel peaceful inside. But you could have chosen wrong. And your peace can lead you into a wrong place. So what should it be, Pastor? Shouldn't I feel peace? Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus gives me peace, you know, above all understanding? It should be by faith. I am choosing this way because I believe it's God's best for my life, and it may not produce peace. It could produce unrest. There are times that God asks you to do something that are so big and so out of your strength and comfort zone that you don't feel peace about it at all, but it's the right thing to be doing. So if you simply use peace as an indicator that I've done the right thing, I've made the right choice, it's the right voice, you could be misled. Because the Bible says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it clearly tells us that we should not be using our own emotions and our own senses to make final decisions. It should be faith. Faith should be the indicator. It should be because I believe God wants me to do this. And guess what? If you make the wrong choice in faith, God will get you into the right journey eventually. But if you make the wrong choice out of just a feeling, I feel good about this, I feel better about this, I feel restful about this, and that's your only indicator, you could make the wrong choice completely. That was the other third that got offended. And then I'm coming up with another one that 50% will be offended. So what do you do? Okay, here's what to do. Accept the truth. Now, here's something that's going to blow you all away, and you need to grow up and put your big pants on and take it. Accept the truth. You do hear God's voice. And I can prove it to you. He goes, I don't know. I don't know God's voice. Yes, you do. According to Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the one that died on the cross, the one that was raised from the dead, said this, my sheep hear my voice. Now, if you don't hear his voice, it could be because your ears are plugged up. It could be because you are wanting so much to lust after the way of the world that you block the voice of God. But Jesus says, you hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus said this, and you need to, first of all, accept the truth. You have the ability. You have all the DNA. You have the makeup. You have the ability to hear the voice of God. You can hear God's voice. And it's going to be a voice of faith. It's going to be a voice that you accept. It's going to be because you believe this is right, and you've judged it according to the word of God, and the word of God agrees with a decision that you made. You hear his voice. And because you hear his voice, you follow him. Now, you're not going to just do the voice of God. You're going to do the way of God as well. So you're going to follow his, you're going to hear his voice, you're going to do his way, and you're going to. Now, Pastor Josh last week did an awesome explanation of living every day and what you do every day, and it's spiritual. That everything you do, what you are in Christ, you are in God, you are in the Spirit, and you can wash clothes in the Lord. You can do the dishes. You know, because I was sharing this with Suzette, whom, if you don't know, that's this wonderful woman sitting here, is my wife, girlfriend. She's also my, I can't go into all the other ones, huh? Wrap it up in lover, and there's a whole bunch of synonyms for that one. Anyway, I was telling her, life gets in the way. It takes a lot of time to eat. You got to prepare all the food. You got to eat. And then you got to clean dishes. You know, I mean, just life, laundry, you know, taking the sheets off the bed and washing them. You know, it's just life. And it was just dragging in my sense, like, oh, well, I wish we didn't have to eat. There are so many hours involved in it, you know. And then again, just doing life. Just doing. And I thought about what it was like in the life of Abraham when they ate. I mean, it took hours. They had to go kill the animal, skin it. There's no refrigerator, you know. It just went on and on and on. And then Pastor Joshua says, hey, it's spiritual. And I went, boom. Uh-huh. And it changed my focus on a whole bunch of stuff. And it got me into the place of, I can hear his voice everywhere. And helping my wife by cleaning the kitchen without being asked, putting the dishes away, putting the dishes in the dishwasher, turn it on without ever being asked, is spiritual. And so I realize I'm living in a spiritual life, which is real important on the points I'm going to get to. What to do? Accept the truth. You can hear the voice of God. Number two, accept the full ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm about to offend 50% of you. If God's ways are greater than your ways, if God's thoughts are greater than your thoughts, then why do you define the ministry of the Holy Spirit different than Scripture? Why do you define the ministry of the Holy Spirit as something for someone else and not for you? Why do you define the ministry of the Holy Spirit as not necessary for today, that I don't need that? And the ministry of the Holy Spirit that I'm referring to is allowing him to come and reside on the inside of you, and you receive your heavenly language. You receive a language that only the Holy Spirit can come through and help you hear his voice and help you understand the mysteries of God and follow God in a deeper, deeper way. On the Mount of Olives, Jesus is talking to over 500 people. He tells 500 people, go wait in Jerusalem until the power from on high comes. All 500. Now, of those 500, 120 hung around for that moment on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was one of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, You know, she's the head of the Catholic Church. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongues. Bible says so. She spoke in other tongues. Of the 120, we can name less than 20 of the 120, which means the other 100, they're not named anywhere else in the Bible, which means they're just everyday people. But yet they received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and had their heavenly language. Of the 500 that Jesus told, all 500, you go and wait and receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Did you know in the first century that when the church was founded in all the different countries and all the different lands, in Ephesus and Corinth and Athens and Jerusalem, everywhere, speaking in tongues was part of Christianity. It was just the way. It was called the way. It was accepting the full ministry of the Holy Spirit to the point that God knows greater. And God is the one with the big brain that says, you need this. You need this experience. You need this ministry. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit. You need it to fight the voice of the world. You need it so that he will tell you you are well when you don't feel well. You are healed when you don't feel healed. If we do not accept the full ministry of the Holy Spirit, if we count ourselves as exempt, that we're special, we can exist on planet Earth and face the voice of this world without the single most important weapon God himself designed for us and Jesus declared would come and would help and that every one of us needed the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Who are we that think that we're smarter than God? 50% of you just got offended. John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus said this. How will he come? Same chapter. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit was assigned by Jesus Christ, prayed to the Father from Jesus Christ, given to us in the power and the presence on the day of Pentecost, and then continues to this day, asking every single one of us to be open and subject to the ministry of the Holy Spirit so that he could lead us and guide us into all truth. How do we get guided out of the truth of the world into the truth of God if we reject the truth giver? Okay, now it's a wimpy handkerchief. Number three, walk. The book of Galatians, it says to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'll probably show it to you. But the word for walk means to live. It means to walk. The Greek word actually means to put one foot in front of the other, and to keep moving. But he says, you're supposed to live your life in the Spirit. Galatians 5, for I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit if I reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Walk in the Spirit, which means, this word for walk again means just to have everyday movement, to live, to go from one thing to another. Just to keep on living in your life, just to keep on moving forward. Just go and follow God. In verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. The things that you want to do cannot be done. The things that you wish to do, what you wish to do is please God. God, more than anything, I want to stand in front of you when we get to heaven, and I want to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. God wants you to get to that place. He sees your journey there. He has already called those things that are not as though they were. He has already called you well. He already called you healed. He already called you prosperous. He already called you at peace. He's already called you. And in order to get you on that journey, he sent the Holy Spirit to your life to get you there. You know what the United States needs? Is a revival of the Holy Spirit. an acceptance of the fact that God really does want every single Christian that's left on planet Earth to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, receive their heavenly language, and to say yes to God and follow in that power and that presence. In verse 18, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law if you are led by the Spirit. In Romans 8, so we're going back to Romans 8. That's where I asked you at the very beginning to open up. This is where we're concluding in Romans chapter 8. For if gives us a choice. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And this death that it's referring to means you will not succeed in the things that you want to do spiritually. You will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So I want you to grasp the first part of this. And it is saying, if we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to put the deeds of the flesh. We're going to win over our own flesh, over our own weakness, whether that is a physical weakness, a mental weakness, or a lustful weakness. We're going to win by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I need to be reminded every single day I'm a child of God. And the Holy Spirit's, one of his jobs, one of his ministries is to remind you, you are paid for, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer, we're going to talk about this, suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time or world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what are these sufferings that it's referring to? The suffering that it's referring to is when the Holy Spirit, in your journey of growing in Christ, causes you to challenge some of your own weakness, and that you go through the suffering of what it takes to follow God, that you resist that lust, you resist that sickness, you resist that poverty, that you submit yourself over to the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is a suffering in it. There's a battle in it. There's a challenge in it. I'm not going to go my old way. I'm going to go the way of the world, the way of the word, not the way of the world. The way of the world will lead you away from God. The way of the word will lead you to God, and all of his glory shall be revealed in you. Dropping down to verse 24, same chapter. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he does not see? Do you know what we are hoping for? The very thing that we are believing God for. If your body's fighting cancer, if your body's fighting sickness, if your body is fighting something else, if there's some weakness in the body, you don't see what you're hoping for. What you are hoping for is to be healed. And it's not done yet because you are still in that battle and still in that journey, and you're walking what God has for you. He says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or patience. And then when I'm fighting some disease, I'm fighting some virus, fighting some sickness, fighting some cancer. Over a year ago, the doctors believe they told me, you have cancer in your prostate. That's what they told me. Over a year ago, they told me, you have cancer in your prostate. And I came and told you guys and prayed. And I've been following a journey of homeopathic. I felt the Holy Spirit took me on a particular journey that there is, in this journey, there has been direct symptoms improvements. In other words, I am far better today than I was a year and a half ago. And the improvements that God has done in my body tell me I don't have cancer. So in about 10 days, they're having my third MRI. It's just where you live in a fishbowl. So my last three PSA tests went down, then went down, and went down again. So this PSA test that I had just a few weeks ago is below what it was 3 months ago. So it's on this projection. And those are good signs, but that's not telling me to have my confidence in what it says. My confidence has to be in the Word of God, the promises of God, and the journey of the Lord, and see the end result of being well. And to see God, what's God doing? I mean, I was really happy. My doctor was real happy. He goes, Tom, it's down. I said, great. I happen to have a spirit-filled doctor, and it does help. But he says, if we don't hope for something we see, my hope is in being totally healed, completely. My hope tells me that one day they may do an MRI and said, we don't see anything there. And you know what? That doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference is, what is my heart holding on to believing? What am I hoping for? And how am I seeing God work? Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. This is where the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you're lost for words. You're lost for, what do I do? And what happens? What happens at that time? The Spirit of the Lord takes over. And that's where that heavenly language comes in, to pray. You pray God's will in your life. And there are going to be, it's going to be articulated and structured better than AI can do your term paper, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But the call has to be answered. Just because you're called to his purpose doesn't mean that you get the benefit of the presence of the Holy Spirit and all things working together for your good until you answer the call. And the call is to live for Jesus. Wherever you're at, whatever your life, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, being Jesus, but we are the other. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. I want you to see that first God had a plan for you. Then he had a calling for you. You answered the calling. And then he had action that was bringing justification in your life. And then you saw the glorification or the end result. And this is a process that happens on everything that you pray about, everything that you do. What shall we say to these things? What shall we say to the voice of the world? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what I say to the voice of the world. The voice of the world is telling me, you are going to die of prostate cancer. That's what the voice of the world says. The voice of God says, I'm victorious in all things. Thank God who gives me the victory in Christ Jesus. That's what the voice of God says. Now you live with those voices, you live with those thoughts, you live with that battle. You have to go into the Word of God, the Scripture of God, the things of God, and declare, if God be for me, who can be against me? And he who did not spare his own Son. I love this verse. This verse is huge in my life. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, I don't have to buy it, don't have to pay for it, don't have to earn it, freely give us all things. If God gave up his Son to give you life, wouldn't he also help you live this life that he asked, that he paid for? Wouldn't he help you fight cancer? Wouldn't he help you get through the things that you're battling? Wouldn't he help you get through the financial situations that you're battling? So in this whole talk today, the voice of the world and the voice of God, the voice of the world wants to keep you sick. The voice of God wants to get you well. You need to make the voice of God louder. And the way you make it louder is you put in your heart scriptures and promises that you believe are true and personalize them for you. Did you learn something today? Could we thank the Lord for his word? The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please, with no one looking around? I want to ask you a very important, life-changing question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Do you know that you would go to heaven? You've said, I'm not sure. I don't know if that I would go to heaven if I died today. I'm not sure if that would happen. If you're not sure whether you're watching online or you're in this room, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You say, Pastor, I need to do that. I need to know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you lift your hand anywhere in the room? Say, Pastor, I need to say yes to Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand anywhere in the room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You at home, if you're raising your hand, it's super simple. You just say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I need you because you do. And you don't want to go to hell, you want to go to heaven. And if you ask Jesus into your heart, whether you're in this room or you're watching online, he says he'll make you a new creation. He'll move you from outside the family to inside the family. You become adopted by the power and presence and the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you as you say yes to Jesus. Amen. Amen.